Belfast has been, guess what? It's been ranked ahead of Manchester, Liverpool and London in a UK-wide survey as one of the best cities to live in and work in. The PwC Demos survey of 39 cities looked at economic performance and quality of life. Measures used include jobs, health, income, skills, work-life balance, house prices, inequality, pollution. Belfast came 9th overall, an improvement on last year's 16th place. This was despite the troubled year, of course, with flag protests and parading controversies and some of the stuff you've heard in this programme today. On the line with me now, the travel writer Andrew McVeigh. Morning, Andrea.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. And the Belfast councillor, Jim Rogers. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. Good morning, Andrea.
Good morning, Jim.
What are your thoughts around this, Andrea?
Well, I think it's a load of rubbish. I mean, I think they've fed in a load of statistics into a computer and this is the result, but it doesn't actually reflect life on the street. Now, I don't know how last year Belfast ranked 16th and this year it's 9th, when as far as I can see, either nothing has changed or things can have got worse. As you said, I did a lot of travel, right, and travelled all over the world from Easter Island to Australia and America, everywhere else. And I love Belfast because I was born and brought up here. But there are so many things that are terrible about it. Not the people. The people are great, and I think the culture is great. But in terms of this index, things like health, jobs, income, skills, commute to work time, think of all the things that are bad about here. Our motor insurance is higher than the rest of the UK. Prices are higher. Electricity is higher. It's harder to live and work in Northern Ireland. When you think about things like travel to work time, it takes me about an hour to get from Forest Side into down to the city centre. Sometimes in London, where I've been working for a bit, I could get from south of the river into the centre of London in half an hour by tube, and it costs a bit less. Parking here is expensive. The city itself is dirty. It's so filthy. And the city centre, it looks neglected. Half the shops look like they're abandoned or they're derelict. We've got pound shops and Royal Avenue and Donegal Place. It's a tatty, dirty, destitute looking city.
Go on, Jim.
Well, I would agree with some of the things that Andrea has said, but I think Belfast is a great city. And you mentioned earlier, Stephen, about Manchester and Liverpool and London, and I could go on talking about many other places in England, Scotland and Wales. But the truth of it is this, Belfast has got a tremendous amount going for it. The nightlife, superb, brilliant hotels and guest houses, wonderful restaurants, great buildings like the City Hall, Titanic Belfast, Parliament buildings, to name just a few. We have the Crumlin Road Jail. We can go and see SS Pneumatic, the Odyssey, great theatres like the Mac, the Grand Opera House, the Lyric. Our culture, as Andrea has already said, is absolutely splendid. But in every city that we go to or know of, they have problems, they have difficulties. I would have to take issue with Andrea in regards to saying that Belfast is a filthy city. It's not. And our staff in Belfast City Council who clean up the streets are doing a splendid job. Yes, there's litter thrown down, including cigarette butts, chocolate papers, you name it. But compared with other cities, not just in the UK, but throughout the British Isles and Europe and even the world, Belfast now will compare with any of them, and in many cases, it's much better.
I disagree with that, especially about the dirtiness, and I do appreciate the people whose job it is do a hard job. But I fly back into Belfast City Airport or Aldergrove, and I'm driving down, and I'm thinking, what must tourists think of this place? Or you're walking down the city centre, where Victoria Square is great, but it's at the expense of Donegal Place, which used to be our main shopping street. It's now got pound shops on it, which I love, but it doesn't set the right tone. I mean, it does look like a dirty, neglected place. And also, you're talking about nightlife. Surely we've just had this big argument about bars having to close at one and the fact that you can't party all night like you can in other cities, and our DJs and clubbers and people who work in bars and punters who want to go out at night are in uproar about that. Also, what about Sunday shop and ours? You know, so yesterday was a miserable day. I woke up and looked out the window and it was mizzly and grey, and I honestly actually did think this. I thought, if I was waking up in Belfast as a tourist, what would I do this morning? Absolutely nothing, because the shops don't open until 1. And that's if the shops, Sunday opening hours were extended, it would boost the economy, it would help tourism, and it would make Belfast a more vibrant, lively, livable-in city.
Well, I've heard Andrea and other commentators mentioning Sunday shopping hours, and I've been in many cities throughout the world, and the vast majority of them don't open on a Sunday, and those that do are a bit like Belfast. They don't open until the afternoons, and I don't really think that this is an argument, except about Donegal Place. Donegal Place in Royal Avenue has suffered terribly through the recession, make no mistake about it, and we would like to see much better and quality of shops, but we're
glad.
Well,
what about
really
giving some
anything.
Type of rates incentives then?
Encourage retailing, need all the support possible.
What about giving rates incentives from Belfast City Council then to those particular areas?
Well, Stephen, my party, the Ulster Unionists, have been advocating for some time that we need a massive reduction in rates. I was in with a new business recently, and they told me, and wait for this one, they're paying over 6 weeks, from now up to Christmas, they've taken over this unoccupied shop, they're paying £1 in rent, but they're paying the full rates bill, which is very, very high. Now, unoccupied shops, the owners of them, the landlords, have to pay 50% of the rates. And that's why some of the owners are glad to get anybody into them, even for 3 to 4 weeks. It's an issue, but the other parties in Belfast City Council, some of them are very reluctant to reduce the rates, and I feel that that is a major fault. And my party will continue to advocate a massive reduction.
Yeah, but your party would have to identify what services you're going to cut.
In Belfast City Council. But we need to address this issue of rates, because
your party, Jim Rogers, would have to identify what services you're going to cut in order to pay for those rates cuts.
You and I have had this discussion before, and we're looking at this. But whenever you talk to the business community, you talk to their representatives, they will tell you that rates are the big issue. People are paying more than rates than what they are in mortgages and rent. There's something radically wrong on that front.
Here's Maureen in Belfast. Morning, Maureen.
Good morning, Stephen. I'm actually in Mosley in Lingormley. Stephen, Mr. Rogers there, I have been waiting on the opportunity to say what Andrea has just said for me, and I rarely agree with her. The place is filthy. Belfast is filthy. Does Mr. Rogers ever go around Queen Street where the buses are? Where you go to you drop off, the drop-off point, and when you're coming home, you would go around there?
What's dirty about it?
It's filthy. There's cigarette butts. There's packets of used food containers. The bins are overflowing. It's absolutely filthy. Now, I don't know whether the council have anything to do with the buses or not, but the buses are filthy too.
Well, with nothing to do with the buses, that's up to Translink. But I've been on buses,
absolutely right about that.
And the buses have been really clean. In regards to Queen Street, yes, we've had complaints about Queen Street, and you can rest assured that the City Council cleansing staff are doing their utmost to get it cleaned up whenever they get a complaint.
Well,
they can't be everywhere. It's the people. The people need to be educated. There's plenty of litter bins that you've been throwing the rubbish into.
I agree, Mr. Rogers.
And our litter wardens are certainly getting on top of the situation by just stopping.
Jim, I don't know what planet you're on, but I'm in town
there,
on Tuesday.
And they take immediate action, and you can be fined a fixed penalty of £80.
Jim, I don't think that law is ever enforced, to be honest with you.
Well, I can assure you that it most certainly is.
And
we now have increased the number of litter wardens.
Do you mind if I get a word in here?
Yeah, sure.
Right, typical councillor. Now, the place is filthy, and I don't agree with your theory that your workforce are doing their best. And a lot of them are very rude, might I add. Very rude. And another thing, the bins are overflowing around those streets, all the wee side streets. You might get a little bit there in Donegal Place, one block maybe at either side, would be fairly clean. But from then and on up Royal Avenue, it's the pits. I came to Belfast over 40 years ago and I loved it that much, I wouldn't go back. And it's just deteriorated somewhat. And the council, I don't know, they can put on these fancy dinners and fancy this and fancy that. It's more in their line themselves to walk round and see for themselves what the public are trying to tell them. And that's
well,
what
I
have to say, Mr.
I
Rogers.
I walk around Belfast on a regular basis.
Well, I never see you, Jim, and I'm in there. Maybe
well,
well,
let him finish.
You, quite a number of people see me and stop me and raise issues, and some they're praising the council, they're praising the councillors, and other occasions of complete opposite. If a member of the council staff has been rude to you, I'm sure the Nolan programme will give you my contact details.
Yes.
And if you make contact with me, I will help you.
Okay, Maureen, thank you.
That's all I want to say.
Thank you very much indeed.
Bye-bye.
Jim, what did you make of the Van Morrison concert? Did you enjoy your gig?
It was absolutely excellent. Yes, it was a wonderful evening.
Did you dance?
Everybody thoroughly enjoyed it. And
were you dancing?
Van was super.
Were you dancing?
No, I wasn't, because there was no opportunity to dance. I know that you're aware I'm a very good dancer, but that wasn't part of the programme.
Who did you bring with you?
Well, my wife was there and two constituents, and they both enjoyed themselves immensely.
From Belfast?
Yes, absolutely.
And it was a top gig, was it?
It was absolutely superb, a great advertisement for Belfast and also for Van and his band and everyone else who participated.
Because I know you would have been distraught, obviously, after Friday's event where you were able to throw a pie into my face.
Well, that gave me great pleasure, and it's been amazing over the last few days, including this morning. I was at an event to do with C.S. Lewis. The number of people who remarked, "You must have got great pleasure, Jim, in putting the pie into Stephen Nolan's face." But they were disappointed to find that you were still able to head up the Five Live programme over the weekend. They thought it might have finished you after what happened to you on Friday.
Yeah, I got very concerned, I've got to say, when Jim Rogers, and Andrea, I know you did the same, there was a certain punch to your thrust into my face, Andrea. I actually wonder what you really think of me. But here's what I got concerned about. Here's what I got concerned about. We were doing this for Children in Need, all of these people able to attack me with pies. And when Jim Rogers said, on behalf of the Ulster Unionist Party, I thought to myself, well, my goodness, is that on behalf of the whole party, Jim? And then I got even more concerned. Can you imagine the mood I was in all day when the controller of BBC Northern Ireland, Peter Johnson, he comes down. What does he say, Jim? He says, on behalf of us all at BBC Northern Ireland. I thought, this is my boss talking on behalf of everybody in Northern Ireland. Won't they attack me too, Jim?
Well, I saw Peter's face, and he was delighted whenever he was able to see the Deputy Lord Mayor, Alderman Christopher Stalford, the former Lord Mayor, Gavin Robinson.
Another dupper.
All really giving it to you, Stephen. But in fair play...
There was a shinner there too. Maskey was there.
Took it exceptionally well. And I congratulate you what you were prepared to do for Children in Need. It was encouraging to hear the amount that was raised in Northern Ireland and also throughout the United Kingdom. Absolutely brilliant. I would urge people to continue giving for this wonderful cause.
Think how much money you could make if you did that in a row. Imagine if that was a feature of the show every Friday morning, how much money you would raise. And as we said, I really hurt my arm. You've got a hell of a stony face on you.
It's the weight.
I hope you're putting a claim in against the BBC.
I think my arm and my hand came off worst.
Have you been to the hospital for an X-ray?
I think I'm going to put a claim in against Stephen. I definitely am.
Good,
I tell you.
Good.
I don't know what he...
of the money from him that he has.
This is all on our Twitter feed. If you want to see me being attacked outside the BBC on Friday, no doubt lots of you do. At Stephen Nolan on Twitter, if you want to have a look at that feed. Andrew and Jim, thank you very much indeed. And before we do go on, some £818,000 raised here in Northern Ireland alone for Children in Need. And that's you, all of you, who did that. To every single one of you who supported the BBC, who supported Children in Need, thank you. And I mean that. Thank you so, so much. And you can, of course, still donate.